Welcome to Get Up Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. We're currently doing a study through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we paused just for a bit in the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to bring out some of the spiritual pictures that's given in 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 1 through 4. Now, tonight we're going to look at verse 4, where it says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, when you go back into the Old Testament, whenever the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt, they eventually came to a time when they needed water. And what the Lord did is He gave them water out of a rock. You can read that in the book of Exodus chapter 17. And you can read how that the children of Israel received water whenever Moses took his staff and he struck a rock. Then water came pouring out and they drank from it. They drank from it for a while. It was like a river that followed them, and God provided for them miraculously. You can read all about that in Exodus chapter 17. Now, on another occasion, He provided for them water again, but this time in the book of Numbers, Moses was to speak to the rock and said he hit the rock again with his staff and he hit it twice. And for this particular sin, he was forbidden entry into the promised land. God took him home to the true promised land, but he never got to enter in because of that particular sin. So this is what this is referring to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, back in the book of Exodus chapter 17, whenever God gave them water out of a rock. Now here it says it's a spiritual rock. And that's just like verse 3 that we looked at last week, where he talked about the manna and called it spiritual meat. And here in verse 4 he says a spiritual rock. And the reason why that is because, again, there's a spiritual lesson in it. That rock that Moses struck with his staff was a picture of Jesus. And it says that in the text, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So that rock that gave forth the life-sustaining water, that was a picture of Jesus. And what we're going to do in the broadcast this evening is bring out the pictures and show how that rock that gave forth the water in the wilderness was a spiritual rock, gave forth a spiritual picture of Jesus. And we'll bring out those pictures in the broadcast this evening. Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and from there we'll get our first picture. And one of the things you note in the book of Exodus chapter 17 is whenever the rock brought forth the water, it first had to be smitten. Moses was told to take his staff and he was to strike the rock. And then whenever he did that, the water came out. Now let me read that to you in the book of Exodus chapter 17. It says in verse 5 and 6, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river," that's the Nile, "and take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock." See, that's the first truth that I want you to see tonight, is that the rock had to be smitten. And once that rock was smitten, there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in sight of the elders of Israel. So, the first truth about this rock that gave forth the water is to give forth this life-sustaining water, it had to be smitten. He took the rod, and Moses took the rod, as God had said, and he struck the rock and out came water and people drank from it. Well, how is that rock like Jesus? Well, Jesus had to be smitten. In order to save us from our sin, in order to give us everlasting life, he had to be smitten. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, it uses that type of terminology. Isaiah chapter 53, the great prophecy of the sacrificial death of the Messiah is Isaiah 53. When you get a chance after a while, open your Bible up and read Isaiah 53 and see all the great pictures of Jesus. But it uses the term smitten in Isaiah 53. And we want to read that to you. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." That was written in 750 B.C. And you have a clear picture of how Jesus would be substituted for our sins. But here it says that he was smitten. He was smitten. And, of course, the reason why Jesus was smitten was he was smitten for our iniquities. He was smitten for our transgressions, our sins. So one way the rock that Moses struck that gave out the life-sustaining water, one way that it pictured Jesus was that that rock was smitten. And it pictured how the Lord Jesus one day would be smitten for our sins. We should be ever so grateful for the great sacrificial substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. Now, whenever Jesus was smitten, he gave out life-giving water. And by that we're referring to everlasting life. And whenever Moses struck the rock, the purpose of that was to give water, and that water sustained their physical life. You know, you can't live without water. And if they would have died soon in the wilderness if they didn't have water. Well, God provided the rock, and when it was smitten, it provided life-sustaining water. Well, when Jesus was smitten on Calvary, he also provides life-sustaining water. And by that, we're speaking of everlasting life. In order to provide for us eternal life, in order to provide for us everlasting life, he had to be smitten. We faced, because of our sin, we faced everlasting death. But Jesus provided for us everlasting life. In order to do that, he had to be smitten to provide it. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, he was speaking to the woman at the well. Of course, the subject was water because that's what she came there to get. But she needed this everlasting life. She needed the water of salvation. She needed the gift of God, which is everlasting life. And Jesus was speaking to her about everlasting life in the picture of water. John chapter 4. Let me read you a text. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God." Now, what is the gift of God? The gift of God is everlasting life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John chapter 3 and the verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that's what the gift of God is. So he begins to tell this woman who came to the well to seek physical water to quench her physical thirst. Jesus began to tell her about the gift of God and to tell her about living water. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." Now, this living water is just an illustration of everlasting life. You look down in verse 13, and we'll come back and read this text again later probably. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So, Jesus, in order to give us this gift, in order to bring to us everlasting life, he had to be smitten in order to bring that to us. We'd have never had no hope of everlasting life unless he be smitten. So, when we're looking here at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it speaks of that spiritual rock, and it says that rock was Jesus, it means it was a picture of Jesus. How did it picture Jesus? Well, it had to be smitten. And whenever that rock was smitten, it gave out life-sustaining water. Well, when Jesus died on Calvary, that's the purpose of him dying on Calvary. He was smitten on Calvary, smitten for our transgressions and for our sins. And as a result of him being, as a result of his death on Calvary and him rising again the third day from the dead, now we can drink of that water of life. And we do that by trusting in him as our Savior. And that's how you receive it. That's how you receive it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, it says in verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So the life-sustaining water that Jesus provides is not speaking of physical water. It's speaking of everlasting life. And Jesus purchased that gift for us by dying on Calvary. He had to be smitten to provide it for us. That's why he died. And now, when you trust Christ as your Savior, then you receive everlasting life. Folks, salvation is likened to water in several places. When the Lord's encouraging people to be saved, sometimes he uses the illustration of water, of coming and drinking. In order to quench your thirst, you have to come and drink. Let's notice some of those examples in the Gospel of John chapter 7. You can see a lot of these texts are in the Gospel of John, which stresses everlasting life, uses water as an illustration, using receiving Christ as an illustration of coming and drinking of him. It says in John 6 in verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." So there he uses the illustration of coming to him and drinking. Now, that's just an illustration. How do you come and drink? Well, you do that by believing. It says in the very next verse, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." How do you come and drink? You come and drink by believing. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." He satisfies your thirst. And you come and drink by trusting in him as your Savior. When we looked at the manna last week, which was also a picture of Jesus, how do you eat of him? You eat of him by believing on him. How do you drink of him? You drink of him by believing on him. Now remember that believing on Jesus is more. And the Gospel of John uses the term believe over 100 times. And how do you believe on him? How do you trust in him? Well, you have to have a thirst for him. You don't come and drink of him until you trust in him. That's how you come and that's how you drink of him, is by believing and by trusting in him. That's how it's done. That's how you come and drink. So when Jesus is encouraging, for instance, the woman at the well to come and drink, He said, "You drink of this water, you'll thirst again, but you drink of the water I'll give you." See, the Lord will satisfy what you're searching for. the Lord will provide for you everlasting life when you come and drink. How do you drink? You drink by believing. You drink by believing. Isaiah chapter 55 does the same thing. You even have it in the Old Testament. Isaiah 55, notice what it says in verse 1. Everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. Now, this is the waters of salvation. He says, are you thirsty? Come to the waters. Of course, Jesus is the water of life. And you come to Him. And you come to Him and drink. He says, come and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. That means it's free. Eternal life is free. That's why it's called a gift. Who bought and paid for eternal life is Jesus. And He bought and paid for that gift by dying and rising again. And I stressed this last week. I want to stress it again this week. Eternal life isn't a prize you earn. Eternal life's a gift. A gift is something that's been purchased by somebody else. And you receive it. Jesus purchased the gift of eternal life by dying and rising again. And He says in Isaiah 55 that we need to come and drink. If you desire everlasting life, if you see your need of salvation, Jesus says to come and drink. He closes the scriptures with the same kind of call in the book of Revelations chapter 22. In the verse 17, again using the illustration of salvation of being like water. Eternal life being like water. It says in verse 17 of Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And that water of life is eternal life. And that water of life is Jesus. Jesus is the water of life. He's the one that gives everlasting life. That's why He told, that's why he says, come and drink. Come and drink. Come and drink of Him. And you do that by receiving Him as your Savior, trusting Him as your Savior. So here you have a picture of eternal life pictured as water. And that's the reason why here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it uses that as an illustration. They drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Jesus. It was like Jesus. Exodus 17, that rock, in order to give forth that life-sustaining water, had to be smitten. And Jesus was like that in the sense that in order to bring the water of life, in order to give eternal life, provide eternal life for His people, He had to be smitten. And He was smitten on Calvary. And Isaiah 53 shows us that. Well, on over in the book of Numbers, you have another occasion. And on this particular occasion, they needed water again. And what happened is, on that occasion, Moses was told not to smite the rock, but he was told to speak to the rock. It's a whole lot of different situation, is it not? Speak to it, don't smite it. But what happened is he struck the rock with the rod twice, disobeying the Lord, not minding the Lord and doing it as He said. And what happened? Well, for this sin, he was not permitted to enter the promised land, as we talked about earlier. You say, well, what was so wrong with smiting the rock twice? Well, because Jesus was, in talking about Jesus, we realize that that rock was a picture of Jesus. He was smitten once. To smite the rock again was a picture of Jesus being smitten twice. And he was only smitten once. Numbers chapter 20. You can read all about that there. Jesus was smitten one time. He doesn't die over and over again for our sins. And this is stressed in the book of Hebrews. Over and over again, you can read in the book of Hebrews how that Jesus was once offered for our sins. It would be an abomination to the Lord to teach that His Son is sacrificed over and over and over again for sin. One offering. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it stresses that, as I said, in Hebrews chapter 9. Let me read this verse to you. It says, "Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once," you hear the word once? "Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." How often? Once. In Hebrews 9:28 says, "Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Once offered to bear the sins of many. So you see how the Bible stresses, especially here in Hebrews, that Jesus died only one time. And that's the reason why when they came into the book of Numbers, he told him to speak to the rock, because that rock was a picture of Jesus, and Jesus, to provide everlasting life for his people, which is like in the water of life, he was smitten only once. He was smitten only once. Well, my friend, have you came and drank? Have you came and drank? God has provided everlasting life. And that everlasting life came through the rock, the Lord Jesus, who was smitten on Calvary. And he provided the gift of everlasting life. It's like in the water. Have you drink? Have you come and drink? Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You know why people don't come and drink? They're not thirsty. They're not thirsty. In order to come and drink, you must be thirsty. And who makes you thirsty is the Holy Spirit. He makes you begin to want to come and drink. My friend, if you don't have eternal life, you don't have anything that's going to last, except it's your soul. Your soul is eternal. And you're going to spend an eternity somewhere. You need to come and drink. You don't get your thirst quenched until you come and drink. It's more than knowing about it. It's coming and drinking, and you come and drink by trusting Him as your Savior. That's how you drink. That's how you drink of the water of life, as you come and you trust and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, He gives you everlasting life. Everlasting life. Isn't that a tremendous blessing? You're not going to spend a whole lot of time here on this old earth anyhow. I mean, if you live to be 70 years or 80 years or even 90 years, that's not real long. When you compare it to eternity, you're going to spend an eternity somewhere. But you need to come and drink. Are you thirsty? Maybe the Holy Spirit's spoken to your heart tonight. Are you thirsty? You need to come and drink. Jesus is also not only the water that gives the everlasting life, He's also a water that satisfies. He satisfies what you're searching for. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." He'll satisfy. He'll quench your thirst. People search for something. And they search for peace. They search for joy. They search for contentment. And oftentimes what they do is they run to the things of the world in order to find those things. Peace, joy, and contentment's only found in Jesus Christ. Lasting peace and joy and contentment is found in Him. He satisfies what you're looking for. My friend, He gives you a future. A glorious future when you trust Him as Savior. I mean, I couldn't imagine living here on this earth without the expectation of one day going to be with Him. One day going to heaven. Wouldn't it be a vain existence just to have these 70 average lifespan, 70 years, just to having these 70 years here and then nothing? When you drink of the water of life, He gives you everlasting life. And when you die, then you go to be with Him. You got a tremendous future ahead of you when you trust Jesus. He satisfies. He makes you content. If Jesus comes, you go to be with Him. If you die, you go to be with Him. He walks with you in your journey here. He satisfies. I don't know what you're searching for, but if you're searching for peace, that'll be found in Jesus. If you're searching for joy, true joy, that comes in by trusting Jesus, having Him as your Savior. If you're searching for contentment, you need to come and drink of the water of life. He'll satisfy what you're searching for. Well, folks, Jesus is the rock that provided water, the water of everlasting life for His people. In order to provide that water, He had to be smitten. And you need to come and you need to drink. And when you do, He'll wash your sin dead away. And He'll give you everlasting, He'll give you everlasting life. And He'll satisfy what you're searching for. Won't you trust Him? Can you see how that rock in the Old Testament was a picture of Him? They drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Jesus. Well, my friends, this has been Good Hope Through Grace, a broadcast ministry of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. And as I come to a conclusion, I ask you to trust Jesus. You can trust Him right there where you're at. If you recognize that you're a sinner and that Christ is a Savior and you see your need of everlasting life and you're thirsty, if you'll call upon Him right there where you're at, say, Lord, I want everlasting life. I want to trust You. I want to come and drink. He'll save you right there where you're at. May God add His blessings to His word.